and globalization. Where would we be without it? It's complicated, it's messy, and it makes for truly great bad films. That's new generation thinking from the class of 2018. Let's get straight to those wonderful bad films. Ian Smith is a film historian from King's College London. But Ian, we're not talking art house films here, are we? Not masterpieces. The world really is your playground.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in how films travel. So I've researched how Hollywood films have been remade all around the world. So there's a Turkish version of The Exorcist. It's almost a kind of shot-for-shot remake, except the Catholicism becomes Islam. There's a Bollywood remake of Reservoir Dogs that adds musical numbers. These films are often kind of seen as being silly, not particularly worth academic attention, but I argue that actually they're really essential to understanding how American popular culture travels the world and the complicated and messy politics of globalization.
So tell us a bit more about the political implications of these films.
So one of the films that I've been researching recently is from Pakistan. It's a kind of spy thriller. It's a kind of James Bond-style film. It's got disco-themed musical numbers. It's called International Guerrillas. And it's not a particularly remarkable film, except that the villain in the film is called Salman Rushdie. And the heroes of the film are a trio of Islamist radicals who are inspired by Ayatollah Khomeini's fatwa to track down and kill Rushdie. And the film's almost completely forgotten now, but at the time when it was submitted to the British Board of Film Classification to be released in this country, it caused a kind of huge internal controversy about what they're going to do with this film. In fact, it was actually banned, but only for a week.
Right, so why was it only banned for a week? How does that happen?
So I've been going through the BBFC's kind of records, and there's just this insane debate they were having, because most of the times you submit a film to the BBFC, they have two examiners watch it, they decide what age certificate to give it. They decide, oh, is this one a 15, is this one an 18? This one, they needed 24 examiners to watch it, with hugely divergent opinions. So one camp was saying, could they allow a film to be released that endorses the killing of a specific living British citizen? Like, if Salman Rushdie was killed, would they be somehow culpable for allowing that film to go out? Like, one of the reports says, like, a man's life is at stake here. But on the other hand, what about if they ban the film? Are they committing an act of censorship akin to those who called for the banning of Salman Rushdie's novel Satanic Verses that caused the whole controversy? It would be the kind of ultimate irony if Salman Rushdie, the great advocate of freedom of expression, is used as the justification for the banning of a work of art.
So what did they decide in the end?
Most of the examiners said that the film should be passed. They felt that, yeah, this film should be allowed out there, but they decided to ban it on the basis of criminal libel. Basically, they felt that this was such a kind of negative portrayal of Salman Rushdie. And I should say, yeah, the film is terrible, and it really is a negative portrayal of Salman Rushdie. And so they decided that, yeah, this is criminal libel. And so they banned it for a week. And then Salman Rushdie himself, he's still in hiding at this point. He writes a letter to them saying, please do not ban this film in my name. And his argument was, if this film is banned, it then becomes the hot video. Like, everyone needs to see this banned film that the British government don't want you to see. But if they allow the film to be released and audiences actually see it, they'll see that it's just this, what he calls a piece of trash, and it'll quickly be forgotten, which is exactly what happened, I guess, until I came along.
That's a beautiful note to end it on. Thanks, Ian.